This recording is brought to you by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Views, news, and reviews at SeavillePodcast.com. On Friday, April 11th, 2008, poet Kevin McFadden spoke to a capacity audience at the New Dominion Bookshop in Charlottesville. McFadden read from his book Hardscrabble, a poetry series selection of the Virginia Quarterly Review. McFadden's poetry delights in wordplay and in finding new meanings in well-worn words. Join him as he reads from Hardscrabble. You have been listening to the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit us at SeavillePodcast.com.
This is his first book of poetry, Hardscrabble. I'm sure it won't be his last. And he's had poems in many magazines, and he's gone to school to learn about writing. But I don't think you can read all that on the back of the book if you're really interested. But I would just say that I hope you enjoy the reading tonight, and I think that you'll hear in Kevin's poems, I don't know exactly what he's reading, but I think you'll hear an interest in the way that language manipulates us as individuals and as a culture, and also the way that we manipulate language. And just thinking about that made me remember actually a fight we had early on in our marriage. we were dissatisfied with the political climate and you know the course of America, as we're all talking about now. And I was sort of fed up, and I just said, you know, I think we should just move to another country. I think we should just get out of here. I can't stand it. And Kevin totally disagreed, and he said, you know, you have to figure out why and what's going wrong, and you have to do something about it, and whatever your way is to do something about it. And I think you will also hear that in Kevin's poems, and maybe I'm putting that on them, but I do think that it's there. And I think a commitment to language and to America that you see in his work about criticizing something and investigating something, but also admiring it at the same time. So I appreciate that generosity in him as a person and as a poet. Thank you.
Pretty good for no preparation, then. She wasn't prepared when she married me either. But that's thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. This is really a great space, as you all already know. I found that out when I first moved here to go to the university's writing program in 1998. And there had already been some people in the UVA MFA program who said, yeah, no, work at New Dominion. There's a sort of alumni there, people who just, you know, go there. I enjoy the time. You learn a lot working in a bookstore. You're not getting rich, but you're learning a lot. In any given bookstore, the first thing I think when you're working in one, you come up against is your own ignorance of what everybody else reads. Which was immense for me. You know, I thought I'm a well-read young college student. I can get by, and you're helpless. So you start learning. You're back to zero. But that's a great place to be too, because you come up against what you don't know. I'm going to read a number actually of poems from a sequence called "Time" in Hardscrabble. It has section titles that have a lot of Virginia place names in it. The poem has that in it. Each section has one. And I'm going to start right here. New Dominion Bookshop, Charlottesville. Which, every so often, would show me the old Renaissance mendicants milled in from the mall, made straight for Shakespeare, I kid you not. Or the local gentleman poet strolled in. Or a matron would scold her misbehaving granddaughter. Not vera ladylike. But the days of the Leda, like lady, were over. The girl was evidence. board and baseball cleats as gramophone cookbooks. No bell of the ball, no bell of the ballpark. Her stance said, I'll swat any swain or swan who dares come up with a change-up or a come-on. Her job was to put the gods in their place, as I did each night, scribbling these entries at a lull, shuffling mislaid myths back into classics or else religion. The rest, the next shift could sort. What didn't fit was history. We kind of went to work in our year. Angie and I were both in that same year. The stipend for UVA was not, it's not at its height that year, and I think we had about enough to pay our health insurance and 2 months' rent, and then the rest we were on our own. So I also worked for the Papers of George Washington, the project that puts all of George Washington's correspondence to and from into a book. And you know, this project has been going on since, what do we talk about, the 40s, and it's still going. They don't have it all. It's intense scholarship. That's not the best place for a poet. But I learned something there, even if I learned maybe hardcore scholarship wasn't for me. Correspondence, natural bridge. What I remember were his initials carved in stone, 20 feet off the creek. Father of the country. Look, he signed for it. Back in Charlottesville, I worked for the Washington papers, a second job at grad student wages, squinting into microfiche at the elegant cursives of 100 dead decorous hands. George's strokes were gracious, calm, not without quirks, a casual small W which passed for an N. My felon citizens, I smirk. Why not make up the past? They made it up as they went. Among historians, I was the sham, misleading and misled as a spring forgery. The mistake fakes make is how hands change, the edgy early years, an older flow. A forger is many men well, to be even one. George revised. Firsthand, another lie most cannot tell. And next one is called Credit Check. It's about working a job I was bored. I don't even remember which of my jobs I was doing this on when I was this bored. But poems can be interactive, I think. The word banal. Who pronounces that banal? Anyone out there? And who pronounces it banal? That's tough. I think the banals have it. I'll read it as banal today. I think they're both right. But what's interesting is I was thinking about the word credit, and you know, it comes from I believe, credo, I believe. And so you have that moment when there's a belief, and then there's a word about it. And then that word becomes the credit for future belief, even when maybe that situation changes, and maybe like the credit crisis, it shouldn't stay that way. Anyways, it's strange that once a word is a word, it has that even when something falls out from under it. Credit, check. In a world of what and who you know, thyself is not a very lucrative answer. Thus, resume. Thus, CV. Thus, reference and recommendation. Thus, glowing blurbs on an otherwise banal book. Oh, those high school English honors every year are little help to me here at my unremarkable job. And Latin, the oldest, most stolen office supply, rusts in my ROM while I ram through another day. Here, credit spawns belief. It's backward etymology. My work and my work on different shifts, drifting job to job. And poetry, like any hard boss, upbraids me, suspects me of moonlighting, and strings me along with praise, not pay. good work tonight. You're a credit to this organization. This one has a lot of newspaper names in it you may know or may not. Some of them are defunct. The first one is actually the only one that's not from Virginia. Cleveland Plain Dealer, many of you have heard of. Times-Dispatch, Richmond. You have to understand, I come from plain dealers, which is why this is all news to me. The Mid-Virginia Trading Post, the Old Town Crier, the Daily Progress. Stein said you could name a few American states, and the words start to sound like poetry, I guess. But for me, it's these: Old Bridge Observer, Northern Necktied, Unwieldy or Deliberately Outmoded, The Weekly Telegraph, Virginian Pilot, and Ledger Star, with occasional bursts of nostalgia, National Coal Leader, or the blunt and loving it, Bull Mountain. Sure, we blame them. The Independent Messenger, Bland Messenger, The Weekly Messenger Classified, but still we stacked, bundled, and bore them among us. Times Mirror, Times Register, Times Dispatch. In Southwest Virginia, there's a coal mining town spelled D-A-N-T-E, which most of us would read as Dante, and actually is the person's name who was involved in the creation of that coal town, Dant. But I understand also, if you're really from there, you would say it more like Daint. Pronunciation, Daint. No, not to hell and back again. Here it rhymes with quaint. So don't bother abandoning anything, ye who enter here. It's only spoken as paint or taint, or as if deception crept up slow, a hiss, an air, or lack thereof, to play canaries dead asleep, a faint or faint. Say it's coal alone that guides you, not salvation, no audience with the multifoliate rose, just duty, fuel duty, the dust's same old at your throat, carbide mush on the coat you wore in, or your neighbor's coat the day he was pinned and pronounced, what was it now, dead? Then you might not put much stock in pronunciation or saint. You may find deep down a place you don't believe in, cavern that won't echo, or can't. This is another town. These little town names are popping in along there. Lignum. Campfire, Lignum. The world shone in letters, Lucretius believed. In firewood, lignis, was hidden ignis, fire. Whatever kindles your tinder. His mater flirted with matter, for that matter. Linguistics, logistics, two sticks perhaps one shouldn't rub together. But if, on a night like this, by firelight and stars, one hears the pater in the local patter, whose pattern would that be? Father Time, Mother Tongue, we will be true to you in our fashion. Our fashion is to read what we choose to read. A possible good in the bonfire, not the bone. Faint flag in the conflagration, not the blaze. All things are fire, flame said to have tongues. Our dignity and ignorance, our signatures. I chose the title Hardscrabble because there's a lot of poems in this book that deal with anagrams, when you rearrange the letters exactly of a word and to get perhaps another word or perhaps gobbledygook. The last one I think I'll read from the ones with the Virginia titles in them. Mode, Edom. In another realm, but obviously not here, the haves need only shave. The have-nots have tongues. Give us this day our daily beard, they pray. There, Kevin's shine like knives. In anagrams, a man's grain, but that alone won't cut it. Time is the item. Minglers are gremlins, no ideas but aside, no nights but in things. There are miracles, yes, and there are claimers. This mode is a demo, so when near the dome of Edom, start at the mansion of Onanism, walk down Tester Street, turn at the corner of Seneca and Seance. Delight is the place you're looking for. It's lighted. Over this town, God casts his slipper, his ripples. Look to the sky. There's choosing in Hawk Signal. So that's a poem where I tried to have the anagrams talked about, but there's also a kind where I've taken a line from another poet and made every other line use the same letters as that line. It's kind of a mania. But it yields interesting results. You know, you kind of see which lines can do it and can't do it. Some are crippled by the presence of too many of one kind of letter, but some have a lot of fruit in them because of a good mixture. This one's Langston Hughes, Let America Be America Again. And the poem's titled Meditate Sea to Sea. Let America be America again. Ice age ambiance, later a miracle air, a meat mania, ice barge, ice amble, a tie. Agrarian came later, Inca came, a bear image I bear. And Eric came, agile at aim. Let America be a maniac, I rage. Italian came, macabre, I agree. Came Iberia, came Angle, a rat I rate, a marine bilge. Came a CIA angelic era, a tame iambic ear. Bacteria came in a mire, algae era. Militia came, began a race, a crime, eager at aim, Cain at Abel, at Abel. Imagine a ceramic era, ceramic ear, I emit. A lab, a gene I age, a meme trace, a bicranial air age, a bicameral cinema, etc., a manic beige malaria, a carnage. America I let be. I am a cameraman. I create a big lie. Let America be a camera I gain. I am a cabaret MC, a girl in a bar. I am a teenage circle. I am a Miami tribe, an eagle, a car, ace airman. Elegiac America, a bet. Let America be a magic arena, I anagram. I bet I care, came a lie, a clear image. I bet America an animal acreage. I bet America beer I can amalgamate air, iceberg, an ale. Ace at ear, I mimic a man, bear me. I cite a racial age, bear me. I glaciate Americana, I'm a rain. Let America be a cage. I remain a gate, a mecca. I blare Niagara, I accelerate, maim, be a beam. I emanate a grail, Circe, mirage. America, a neat cable I tie in. America, a gala embrace. Let America be America again. Sometimes when I use a line, it's useful to know the poem that it's coming out of. Because sometimes they talk to that poem, sometimes they don't. But I'm going to read one more of those that does. The Gift Outright by Robert Frost. Many people know this poem. He read it at Kennedy's inaugural. And The Gift Outright. The land was ours before we were the land's. She was our land more than 100 years before we were her people. She was ours in Massachusetts, in Virginia. But we were England's, still colonials, possessing what we were still unpossessed by, possessed by what we now no more possessed. Something we were withholding made us weak until we found out that it was ourselves we were withholding from our land of living, and forthwith found salvation in surrender. Such as we were, we gave ourselves outright. The deed of gift was many deeds of war, to the land vaguely realizing westward, but still unstoried, artless, unenhanced, such as she was, such as she would become. It was a very popular poem in its time, and is perhaps still very well known. I never liked this poem. And it always something about it was bugging me, because it seemed like it, as a description of America, is very much just looking backward toward Europe and not looking forward onto the continent that we were vaguely realizing westward on. So I think this became one of the choices for the poem Authentic. And it uses the first line. The land was ours before we were the lands, Frost wrote. Slander. Was he blue? He weaned a werewolf, breast held us. He answered not to snare, but defend where we are, owl slash at wee hours, flee on web strands. We're held on a lens, deeds of war, there's the law. We rub wet brow and see ourselves as her, we, the land. Rawness. He enfolded warlore, but see what he released? The land wasn't ours. We few robbed the land, raw steel. We saw our shore, fen, forests bleed, heal. We were our wants. Hand the wolf new bread, sure he eats. Words lean, words turn foe. Were we the lash-laden, base new beast of nature, ladderless, where, who, when, artless? No. Refuse. We dared howl, beat far on westward, sea blue. We had her, stolen. All right. Can't do too many of those anagrams in a row. You start to phase out. So we won't. A tone deficit. Can't tell your O from your ah. Go, go, or else go gaga. What, were you born in a barn? O, ah. What do you say when the dentist asks? No Novocaine? Nah. Then joke's on us, Jack. We gnaw ourselves when we really ought to know. Can't tell the force from the farce, nor our cores from our cars. The horde works hard in this new nation of shopkeeps, moles and malls, minding our stores when we should be minding our stars. Harmony, whore money. Can we even tell the showman from the shaman? Or are we the worst kind of tourist, doing La France in low fronts, in shorts at Chartres, and so alone in our elan? Nope. We're Napoleons of nowhere, hopeless going on hapless, unable to tell our elbows from our elbows. Some people know another way to say that phrase. By the way, afterward, you are all invited to join us to bend the elbow, so to speak, at the Virginia Arts of the Book Center. We're going to have some fun there, too. This poem is called Court Seated. I guess I associated that because there's a little boozing in it. Court Seated. If facts don't fit, we say the story doesn't hold water. Law is all awash, aloof, when testimony is measured by liquid, alcohol by proof. What do we say when we say wine is truth? Is justice blind drunk? enough to make us puke. Judges, reputed for sobriety, will still occasionally order in the court. Lawyers pass the bar each day with whom? The bottle or the bailiff? So that's why we sit when called to the stand. Raise your right hand. Take the fifth. There'll be no fifths over there, by the way. Just can read another one. Actually, partly inspired by being in basement apartments here in Charlottesville, where the plumbing didn't work well. Well, that's all you need to know, really. The faucet. The sink is costing me precious concentration. Poet, 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 it mocks. Mating call for a plumber. My friend suggests I should write more toward the impossible, around the unreal. I tell them my theme's America. What's the diff? Water's expensive and money's supposed to trickle. The national pastime's a diamond made of dirt. It's difficult not to write satire, an old spout spurted. He's right. Bills pop up, sense flies out. A pitcher's catching the faucet's fluent language. I myself don't spick it. The plumber does, thank God, know his pipes. Chit-chatting a little, we try to jive our slippery jargons. Long as you're here, could you snake the commode? I ask with a blue-collar coyness. I might have called it the throne. By accent, I'd trace this plumber to Pittsburgh. The way he says toilet, toilet. The way he says faucet, faucet. He asks what I do, my skin crawls. And I tell him, saying poetry's like his business. If the job's done right, you never need see the pipes. Just know they're flowing. His look says I'm full of shit. Twirl it, I think. Don't force it. I think I might read just a couple more. And one revolves around being in Glasgow, Scotland during one of the formative years of my college years, my junior year abroad. And it's just a great town. It's, they kind of call it the Chicago. Yeah, there's a Glasgow. They call it the Chicago of Britain. There's so many people from so many different places. It's kind of still a working class town, but a great arts culture. And I heard so many different kinds of English when I lived there. That was the best part of it. People from all over Scotland who sound different. People from all over Britain, Ireland, Europe, and all trying, you know, to talk to each other in Glasgow. And for my ear, it was a training period. But I got some good advice. People said just sort of wait for the music. You'll hear it. And then you sort of, you do. It kind of snaps for you. Lone Glasgow. Where I first learned to say things, Ohio, my accent was a local legal tender. Good in Edinburgh, as Dublin or London. Then came Glasgow proper. One year abroad in broad Glaswegian, the notes brought from home bouncing everywhere, overdrawn. Want a wild time? In Glasgow, time was tame. See the town? You had to hear the tune. New loans, including my name. I began saying cave-in if I wanted the right introduction in a pub. The road was rude, the power sometimes poor. My voice, skim milk in that butter churn of gutturals, Scots vowels clotted and spread like cream. I learned to hear everything twice and nothing the same. Glasgow never leaves you alone. It leaves you Elaine. There's something in there. I would say Kevin, and people, nice to meet you, Gavin. And my name's not Gavin. And it would go on like that. So I started having to say, what do I have to say to have you hear Kevin? And that was it, Kevin. And I figure they invented the name, so I'll go with that. So this will be the last one I read, and probably the most involved to try to describe. It's called Metaphorist. It's the last poem in the book. It's a longer one. And the strange thing about the alphabet, obviously I'm taken with it. Strange thing is you don't have to know where it came from to use it, or even language, really. You learn language. If you're interested in where language comes from, you can find that out. But you're already using it before you even know to ask that question. So you find yourself in medias res, more or less, with language. And you know this, the question of where does the alphabet come from? What did it mean when it started? Is an old one. Socrates was already complaining in his day. How did the A, the alpha, where did the F and the word alpha come from? Why does it have a name with an F if it's an A sound? You know, where did the name for that letter come from? And already they didn't know at that point, you know, because you don't sort of need to know. It's like using Microsoft Word. Most of us know how to get in there and start typing, but we don't have to design the program or complain about the bugs. So in that, it's those early days of language are hidden to us. We know that they're ideograms. The letters looked like things that stood for things at a point, and then they stopped. And like the A, the letter A is an ox head. Doesn't look like it now because it's totally turned upside down. But if you do that, you see the horns kind of pointing out. The letter M from waves of water, kind of the mem. And so it's kind of interesting, but also tricky because, you know, as you go back and you find out these things, they also, all those meanings get lost and erased and not used, and you don't need to know that M had water to do with it, and you don't need to know that an A had an ox to do with it. And it doesn't necessarily help you in your understanding of language to know that either. So it's extra information at this point, but really interesting what people look back and they try to figure out where do we come from? And quite often they look at the alphabet and religious myths use it a lot, saying that there's an alphabet that God used and wrote the world. That's big in Kabbalistic thought. So, you know, we're already looking at this thing that we made as the thing that made us. It gets very confusing. There's all kinds of ways that people have, over the centuries, looked at the alphabet and tried to figure that out. In the poem that I'm going to read, I'm using one of those, and I think it has closest to do with that Hebrew tradition. Of course, all this was coming to me the year I learned it. I had one more year of an eight-year patch that I worked at a Boy Scout camp. So if you want to talk about something you really don't need to know when you're teaching Boy Scouts, it's all this stuff. Just trying to make a tent stake. Don't need to know where A came from. So, but it's in my head. And of course, as we're doing both of these things together, that's kind of where the genesis for this poem is. Metaphorist. Every summer for 8 years came my job, superimposing the known on the unknown. Northeastern Ohio forest before us, college kid, camp counselor, I'd pick a sprig of pine, spread its and my five fingers, W-H-I-T-E, white pine, I showed my campers, you know by the letters. To get it, they had to be able to spell, and usually could, age 12. Exceptions I'd teach by the palms of their hands, known on unknown, hands on nature, palms upturned, see, white no matter what. Which brought us to sassafras. They liked the sound of that, the sass. It was memorable, four kinds of leaves, half of which looked like misfit mittens. Right thumb, left thumb, two thumbs, no thumb at all. Plus, it tastes good, I demonstrate. Pick off a new stem, chew, wait. Ew, bitter, some young initiates would spit. Hold on, I said. Then, aftertaste. Red pine, R-E-D, back to the sprigs. I'd take one down, show three. Then why was this bewildering? Why did it all seem backward? Words we learned early, Earth's characters, oddly next, like this, like that, a retrofit. What we knew by the letters. We knew by the rhymes. Leaves of three, leave it be, eyes to the side, often hide, and not just rhymes, a beat a kid could take to college, beer before liquor, etc. Same tricks he was taught, then taught. We'd even weave down a creek bed looking for animals. First one to find one gets to lead. The smart ass always presented as animal himself. Cheating, the rest of them usually screamed. Of course it was. He leads. Eyes in front, I purposefully observed someone having found a frog. Off and hunt, they yelled in captive unison. Quick answers, I hinted, would make the hike go faster. Hunt with what? I posed and paused, so poised and so Socratic. The smart ones played along. Their tongue. Tongues, eyes, hands, everything about the forest echoed, everything meant. Me, I carried letters in my head, a head or so above theirs, re-scheming the ancient lines, O from the eye, K from the palm of the hand, OK, OK, eye-hand coordination. We broke for water, let the stragglers catch up. Cold water over the wrists, the mind persists. M from waves of water, K from the cup of my hand, KM, KM against my lips, initials of ablution, KM, KM, cool slaps in the face, a name that won't slip, my fingers. KM, take a letter, no sass, no aftertaste, no aleph as a breather, and answer this, was it better back in the wilderness? Better back in the ideograms, fishing letters from streams, O's from wild eyes, knowing K's like the front of your hand, the land an infinite alphabet, the river running its anagram. Every time we paused at an undisclosed pine, the letters grew nomad haggard to me, storm blasted, scaled down, packed light. And who could keep up with them? One kid, winded, asked me the difference between two words I kept using. Which steeper, ravine or gully? One has a V, one has a U, I told him. How does V sound? Like straight up and down. Right, I said. And you? Of course I made that up. What's known, thrown on the whatnot, known in small letters, letters in smaller letters, all standing for standing, meaning once removed and hard to recapture, maybe it helped the hike go faster. Then always the crew grew anxious, started to kick, throw sticks, ask when they'd gotten tired of the show, now can we go back? Okay, I'd think. And the answer was no. Thank you all. You're all honestly invited to join us. The VABC, if you don't know how to get there, you can ask some. There are many of us around. Elliott Avenue, 2nd Street Southeast. We hope to see you there.